A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Second best away record, taking on the seventh best home record here at Home Park, and it is Plymouth who get us underway. Just underneath that one, hit it. It's a good header to Forster Caskey. Sort of lets it go, if you like, to Stockley, who finds Miller out on this left-hand side. He's attacking the penalty area. Into the penalty area he goes, drills it across. Oh, and it avoids everybody. Forster Caskey with a header! Has buried it for Charlton, and there's a
What's he flagging for?
The line.
He's flagging for a handball.
Surely not.
It's in the back of the net. Run back to the halfway line. 1-0. End of.
Oh, no. The linesman was flagging, and I thought at first it was offside, but he's flagging because the man on the line handballed it, but didn't keep it out of the net. And Charlton have taken the lead with 25 and a half minutes gone.
Listen, that is brilliant wing play from Miller to set that up.
He goes back out to Forster Caskey. He's got Watson behind him. It'll touch back into Forster Caskey. Uses Matthews out to the right-hand side. Ball into the box. It's a good one. Stockley's there, and there's the goal. What a fantastic finish from Stockley. But the cross was sublime and gave it to him on his head, on the dive. Charlton 2-0 up.
Yeah, what a great time to score a second. 15 seconds on the clock till we get to 45, and that's all about the delivery for me.
Sends the ball into the box. It's a strange header from Matthews. It's gone back into the penalty area, into the danger, and that's another superb block. I think it was the skipper, Pearce, and it allowed Amos to land on it, and now his quick throw has sent Miller away down the Charlton left-hand side. He's into the Plymouth half, heading towards the corner of the penalty area. He's up against McLeod. Cuts back in his right, takes the shot, takes a deflection. Oh, and it's gone in. That's heartbreak for Plymouth, and it's gone in off, I think that's Watts, and Charlton have got a third.
Do you know what? I've just written notes down about the chance the other end is immaterial now, because that is a brilliant counter-attack.
Ball forward's cut out by Matthews into Watson. Launches it forward, Watson, but there's nobody there in a red shirt, although the clearance almost went straight to Jaisimi, but it did. The ricochet did go to Forster Caskey. He's managed to set up Stockley, who finds Miller. That's a lovely ball in the box, and that's a superb finish by Alex Gilby. It was a move out here on this right-hand side between Watson and Miller. Stockley and Miller. And in the end, the ball went across into the box. A lovely ball into the box it was. Gilby running into the penalty area, met it with his right foot, drilled it past the left hand of Cooper. And Charlton are now 4-0 up.
I mean, that, as an execution, is first class from Gilby.
Taken and some huge results already coming in League One, which I'm sure you already know, but we'll update you shortly. As Charlton again intercept in the shape of Matthews, the ball forward, Jaisimi into Stockley, lets it run. That's a finish from Miller, and Charlton have five. Lovely interception again from Matthews on this right hand side, picked out Jaisimi, the ball in, headed towards Stockley, just dummied it and allowed the ball to run into Miller, who finished first time with his right foot beyond Cooper to give Charlton a 5-0 lead.
Taking risks now, Plymouth, and that was excellent execution in terms of the finish from Miller, but a wonderful dummy from Stockley. Jaisimi making a good decision. He could have taken that ball out his feet and tried to go for goal himself, but he weighted the pass perfectly across to Stockley.
Outside of his foot, finds Shinney. Sends the ball to the right-hand side, but Prattley is the willing runner. Lovely ball into the box, looking for an EK. He's found him, and he's tucked it home. Tucks an EK with a superb little finish. But the run from Prattley, the outside ball, ball with the outside of his foot from Morgan, all contributed to a lovely move down our right-hand side, which the ball in from Prattley to pick out an EK was sublime. And he just poked it and tucked it past Cooper, who advanced on him to put Charlton 6-0 up. Comfortably able to send it back to Amos from virtually from the halfway line. That is the final whistle. Referee Sam Perkis brings the evening to a close, and it's an evening that Charlton will remember for a while.
Six of the best. Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes, and joining me on this week's Big Match Preview to look back at a record-equalling 6-0 away win at Plymouth, and of course ahead to Saturday's big home game with Peterborough. First up, we got Nath. Nath, did you enjoy some lovely six there?
Buzzing. Absolutely buzzing. I didn't expect that coming out, but it was good. It was good to see us to play with a little bit of freedom, a bit of fluidity, and we took our chances for a change, and it was probably one of the most games I've been so comfortable in probably a long while. I mean, even the Wimbledon game, we weren't exactly comfortable, but yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, lovely stuff. And also joining us to look back at that game is the chef, Mark Newby. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good. It's my third show in a row. That's my hat trick, so I will be keeping the microphone.
Oh, well done you. Congratulations. Are you well? Did you enjoy the game on Tuesday?
I loved it. Like Nathan said, it was nice to be able to sit and watch a game and feel, you know what, this is just nicely controlled and, you know, and feel at peace and not kind of like, oh, they're going to get back into it. And thinking, you know, I just keep looking to make sure they were still on the pitch, Plymouth. I thought we'd given up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was crazy, really, especially considering the way the game started as well. So we'll be looking back at that game. We're going to hear, of course, from the Addicts boss, Nigel Adkins, have a little chat about the interesting week that the top six teams apparently in this country have had, obviously with the Super League. We'll hear Nigel's thoughts on that as well, and then of course we will look ahead to that game with Peterborough. We've got your tweets and emails to read out as well. So I mean, we just heard the goals there, Nathan. I mean, easy to forget now, but we actually started pretty much on the back foot in that game. But you know, once we took the lead and obviously got the second just before half time, then you know, within 11 minutes of the second half starting, we're 5-0 up and coasting. Then it was all about just seeing if we could break the record, and we couldn't quite break our away league record, but we could equal it. So better than nothing. And yeah, I mean, I when I was asking you at the top of the show if you enjoyed it, you'd be a hard man to please if you said no.
Yeah, magic. Yeah, it was all right, to be fair. But but there, no, I think you said it there. I think we struggled a little bit first half, started the game rather. Similar to Ipswich, really. They pushed their fullbacks really high. Their wingbacks go, obviously, because they play with a three. And we couldn't really get out. It forced sort of Liam and, you know, DJ back a little bit. And we were sort of trying to, we couldn't really build any sustained pressure. We was going long to Stockley and it weren't sticking. Or if it was, there weren't enough people around him. And yeah, we had a sort of a sluggish start. And I think the key was, I think Brownie said that on comms, you know, if we get that first goal, I mean, our Plymouth are going to have it in them to try and stick at it, really. And obviously they didn't. So, yeah, tricky start to the game. But, yeah, I mean, obviously the goal, we're coming to the goal, but the goal after half-time, I think, set the tone, because that 2-0 scoreline is really dangerous. Because if they get one, then, you know, naturally you sit deep and then we're sort of clanging a little bit. So I think as soon as that third goal went in after half-time, I thought the shackles were released. Plymouth gave up. They were already at sea. Might as well have been playing bowls. Like, who was it? I don't know if it was Nigel done it in his interview.
Some fella from history.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. It was Sir Francis Drake.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I'm disgusted that neither of you two know that.
No, well, I forgot.
We weren't there like you were. So
he was playing bowls with Francis Drake.
Exactly. Hey, he needed feeding. That's not my job.
Mark, Nathan mentioned it there. I mean, it didn't really feel like a 6-0 game at half-time. Like, you know, and the worry was if Plymouth got back into it, especially considering the decent start they'd had to the game, then that really could have put us on the back foot. So that third goal really was pivotal. And, of course, it came just seconds after Ben Amos was forced into a save. You know, we heard in the highlights, we went straight down the other end and scored. And again, it just shows how vital Ben's been over the last few weeks for us as well. I mean, you don't often say that when your team scored six at one end. You don't often have to praise the goalkeeper, but he did play a massive part in that victory.
He did, and it could have totally gone the other way. If they'd scored early in the second half, then you're nervous because they're pushing forward. But he's made a great save, great distribution. Miller's run 80 yards. And, it, you know, for OK, it was a lone goal finish, but that broke them. As soon as that went in, you just saw shoulders dropping and spaces open for us. But, you know, Amos has 16 clean sheets. you know, this season. And it's considering how many goals we've conceded, and he's conceded some absolute worldies against him, and we know he's a good keeper. So, you know, I just thought to myself, you know, it's that movement. And it's funny, you talked about the start of a game, because I talked about the sort of like the Ipswich game as almost the same. They sort of like came at us with full tempo for sort of like the first 5-10 minutes, which is what Plymouth did. And because they'd seen early in the season, that's when we crumbled. You know, we let in silly goals and that was it. And we were always on the back foot after that. You know, there's steel in this side now. Whether it's a mindset or whether it's the personnel changing, but there's, you know, it's a row of steel. And, you know, once they couldn't crack that, I think they were there to be picked off. So, you know, it was very satisfying.
Now, it's a shame that Tom's not here really to discuss Liam Miller's performance on the night now, because he were sort of returned to form. And, you know, Tom's found him frustrating at times this season. And to be fair, I have as well. But, you know, he's started delivering the goods again on Tuesday night. Deserved a goal. He got involved in quite a few of the moves. And it was his excellent play that in the end led to the opening goal, despite the most pathetic attempt at a handball off the line you've ever seen.
Yeah, no, to be fair to Tom, I mean, obviously in our WhatsApp group, I mean, I found, you know, as the time, I mean, he came on and he'd done very well, Liam, when he first started. And he just seemed to become a little bit more predictable, and his composure seemed to lack in that final third. And it was getting frustrating for me, because it was like, come on, you know, you're better than that. And we knew, and it was just the same. It just kept, we kept it. It reminded me a lot like a Lloyd Sam. Is, you know, Lloyd Sam used to really excite me at times, but then his final ball always used to be a hit or a miss, and it used to be frustrating. But yeah, I mean, he credit where it's due, and you know, and Tom will be the first to mention, as I am, you know, that he had a good game, and but that's what we come to expect of him, and now he's set that standard. You know, if he falls below that standard, he knows that, you know, he's having a bad game. So it's good to see what he was capable of. I mean, his composure in front of goal was good. He obviously got the goal. And I thought the front three linked up really well, all you know, apart from that beginning bit of pressure that, you know, Plymouth put on us. I thought we'd done really well. And because we know he can travel with the ball, but it's all well and good travelling with the ball and getting into the final third and taking on your man, but it doesn't get you a goal just by running. You know, you've got to add that little bit of an emble, that little bit of quality. And he had that on, you know, against Plymouth, and it was, you know, and hopefully he can continue that now until the end of the season.
And what about Jaden Stockley as well, Mark? Obviously headed home the second goal. He's been an absolute handful ever since he's come in, and you know, the headmaster, they call him, scores with his head, only scores with his head, and he was there. And it's a wonderful cross from Adam Matthews, we have to say, towards the near post. But Jaden still had a lot to do to power that into the bottom corner, and actually, you know, not quite kill the game off, but put us in a very comfortable position at half time.
Yeah, I mean, he's phenomenal up front, really, for this league. Anywhere close to him, and he's getting his noggin on it. Great finish, brave. You know, he wanted it more than the defender did. And his celebration showed after that. And the dummy he did for Miller's goal was exquisite, because it was just such a high kick, as it were. And you're thinking, how did the defender fall for that? And his movement, I would hate to be defending against him, because he's such a different proposition to someone like Chucks. You know, Chucks is going to like push you out of the way and dribble, but Jaden's will take a run at you, and his movement's quite good as well. So I'd hate to be defending against a striker like that. So I mean, I'd still, you know, we talked about it in previous shows. You know, I'd still see how much he'd want to, you know, if we can offer him regular football, he might take a drop in wage and see if we could pick him up. Because I think, you know, in this league, to get us out of it next season or in league or in championship, I think he'd be a handful. Yeah. So
I'd be tempted, certainly. We never know what's going to happen in the summer just yet. I mean, we've spoken about, I mean, Miller's work for the third guy on the counter attack, but you have to say that the Plymouth man, Kel Watts, who was the one who tried to handball it on the line, then scored an absolutely classic own goal. Because, I mean, Miller done well, but his shot was blocked and going wide, and Watts just had absolutely no idea where he was, Nave. It's like you in Pop World in Plymouth that time.
Oh, that brings back some memories. Oh, God. I think he didn't really have a good game, that Kel Watts. But to be fair, it was weird, because, I mean, as soon as as soon as we put them any under sort of sustained pressure ourselves, they just seem to be all over the show. And I think Brownie made a good point on the comms where they made the sub. They adjusted their system where they were on top. They had the momentum. And, you know, Danny Mayer, I think it was, who was getting in pockets, wasn't getting it anymore. So I don't know why he changed the formation. And it seemed to invite pressure from us and gave us a lot more space, or gave Miller and DJ a lot more space. So, yeah, I mean, judging by Ryan Lowe's post-match, they were in early the next day. And there were some choice words, I think, because, you know, whether you've got nothing to play for or not, you know, losing 6-0 at home, is pretty catastrophic, really. I mean, even so, I think, when did we, was it Leeds? We lost 6-1 to at home or something.
Yeah, but at least we got one, you know, moral victory.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that was when, I think it was it Mark Fisher who was playing, who got absolutely turned by Vadouka, I think it was. I can't remember, but yeah, but you shouldn't be beaten 6-0 at home, regardless of, you know, where, if it's the last game or not. So, but yeah, they seem to have a nightmare all over the show, really.
Yeah, but one of the first rules of football, that is, don't get beat 6-0 at home. Well, it's a rule I live by, though, to be fair. Alex Gilby, player who got the fifth goal, you know, the fourth goal. It is quite easy to lose count. But, I mean, you have to say the finish was absolutely superb. And it's a Gilby who's completely come back to life over the last few games. I remember saying I thought I'd seen a couple of little sparks in the Doncaster game. But, you know, he's really sort of grabbed his opportunity now with both hands.
Yeah, and I mean, even his own quotes saying that he's enjoying it, and he feels, you're reading into it that he feels wanted, you know. And I think it's the positivity that Nigel is bringing to the team and club. Even players who are on the periphery, you know, still feel that they're going to be some use. He's not letting anyone sort of like go wasted. The fact that he took the whole squad to games to build up a team. He'd obviously seen when he turned up, said, you know, this isn't a squad which is together. This is people feeling, you know, on the outside. And he's managed to change that in like the month he's been here. And I think, you know, we're reaping the benefits because Gilby's there, and, you know, he brought Shinny on for a bit. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, there's no sulking, there's no hiding. They came on and did their jobs. Even, you know, if we're going to talk about Ben Watson, you know, I've been one of his biggest critics, and I thought he had a terrific game for us, and no booking, which I think shocked all of us. So there's got to be credit all round. So obviously Nigel's getting the best out of his players, and I think it bodes well for the last six games.
Yeah, certainly does. I mean, final goal, obviously, Chuksunike. That's something else. We've already spoken about Miller's goal. Chuksunike coming on for the sixth. We've spoken about something that bodes well for the rest of the season, him being back on the bench and back scoring goals. You know, I mean, he's almost like a secret weapon because he's gone a few weeks now, Nathan. We forget that we have someone like him in the squad.
Yeah, of course. And I think when we've got all of our strikers fully fit, we've got a different dimension and a different type of player for each type of game. We sort of know what, I know Stockley's classed as that battering ram, if that's what you like, but he's not going to get in behind you. You know, that's more sort of Washington. Schwartz, although he hasn't really had much time, he's probably more classed as a fox in the box sort of thing. And then you've got Chucks, who can play with his back to goal, can drive, can move. Not the great agility-wise in terms of pressing the ball, but it gives us something to think about. And if you're a player like Plymouth, and you've, 4-5-0 down or whenever he came on, and you've got Chucks running at you, I'll tell you what, I'll be subbing myself off, because it's not something that you're going to enjoy seeing with that big old frame coming at you. And he's a powerful lad. And I think it's obvious why, you know, we're a physical team, one of the best in set pieces, and he offers us something different. And it's harsh because we don't play with two up top, but I do think Chucks is better coming off the bench. And I think he'd be disappointed with the second chance. He probably should have done better there, but I'm just being greedy, trying to go for seven heaven, but, you know, six is enough.
No, it wasn't for me, Nath. You know, I spent, as soon as we went 5-0 up, obviously 10 minutes after the break, we were saying on our comms, like, you know, let's talk about records now. Obviously, 2013, Barnsley away, also 6-0, was our largest away win in the league. So I had very much had my eyes on beating that, and then we went a very disappointing almost 35 minutes without scoring, but we pulled one back, and then we see an Anike going through Mark, I don't know about you, but I had my eyes lit up. I thought, here we go, we're going to get some sort of record this evening, and really took the shine off it for me, and I'm not even joking there. I really wanted that.
Well, it's funny because when Chucks came on, he didn't look to be as mobile as he normally was. And you're thinking to yourself, I know he's just coming back and he's not 100% fit, but he just didn't seem to be, you know, putting some the normal hard work in. So when he scored his goal, which was, you know, to him, and he's poked it in, I thought to myself, you know, well, that's good. At least that'll get his confidence up because he's still scoring. So when he was sort of like in on, I wasn't 100% certain, because I just thought to myself, he just didn't look, you know, the Chucks, I think, in that we've seen, you know, this season. So it would have been nice to have seven up. So, you know, it's greedy to say, oh, you know, we're not happy with six, but we are. You know, it's good. It's what that did, that sent a wave through the teams we're going to have to play. We're going to say, you know what, this team are on such a good run, we're going to have to pull out something big to stop them.
Yeah, 10 without defeat now. Obviously, the results elsewhere throughout the evening, and most of which came in before we kicked off, or at least by the time we got to half time, because we kicked off at the outrageously late time of 7:45, which hasn't happened too often this season. But when we're seeing Portsmouth getting beat, we're seeing Oxford getting beat heavily. You know, some of these results coming in around us. I think, did Blackpool, did they get beat as well?
Yeah, they
lost as well. So, you know, I mean, it couldn't have gone much better for us really on the evening. I think Lincoln got some points, which was obviously a good result for them. But we are in. You know, and weeks ago, I mean, it got to a stage where at one point I'd written us off. Tom keeps writing us off and is reluctant to change his mind. I mean, we are now, how many games from this season? We've got 5 games left to play. And I think Rick Everett pointed out, if we win 3 of those, we're almost certainly going to be in the playoffs, and might not even have to come to that, depending on what below us happens. I mean, we are now in with a massive, massive shout, to the extent that I'd have to say would be among the favourites to be in the playoffs now.
Yeah, I think even maybe even 2 wins, I think, because you've got a lot of teams playing each other. I mean, we've got Hull, we've got, I know they're past it anyway, we've got Peterborough. I think we've got another one in there somewhere. But, yeah, I think you might even go 71, 72, maybe. Because usually it's around 71, 72, 73 to get to the playoffs. But, I mean, yeah, I was the same. I mean, it got to a stage where we were so inconsistent. It was like, I think it's over, but, you know, I'm going to enjoy it if we do, but I can't. It just depends on what Charlton team turns up on the day. And the last few weeks, you know, good teams have turned up consistently, and we're just like we did last time we was in the league. We just sort of come out of nowhere. So, of course, I'm going to take it. But I mean, yeah, the proof's going to be in the pudding. I mean, on Saturday, I think we're coming up against a team, in my opinion, who've got the best front three in the league, and it's going to be a task. But yeah, it couldn't have fell any nicer for us, considering we were chasing the pack, and now we've got games in hand and we're actually in sixth place and it's in our hands. So if it falls from here, we've only got one person to blame, or we've only got ourselves to blame, rather. So,
well, who's your one person? Let's pick them.
Oh dear.
Deji.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he hasn't really played, but I mean, if you're going to blame anyone, it probably would be, wouldn't it? But but no, yeah, I mean, we've got ourselves to blame. We didn't think it was going to happen. It has. And listen, again, we still know there's been times where we haven't turned up, but we look so much more solid now. Like, Nigel's got us so much, got structurally set up so well, and a good platform to build on. So just take each go. I'm not going to get too excited, because then, like, playoffs can happen and Sunderland are in there, and surely it won't happen 3 times in a row, but who knows?
Well, yep, you never know. Right, let's hear from that man, Nigel Adkins, then, the Addicts boss. I spoke to him after the game down at Home Park, and this is how it went. Nigel, congratulations. It's a record equaling away win, Charlton's biggest league away win, record equaling. I don't know if you knew that, but what did you make of it?
No. I was really pleased. You know, I thought the application, challenging beginning of the game, you know, I thought, give Plymouth credit. We knew they were a good football inside, and they got on the front foot, and we had to defend 4 or 5 corners to start off with. But, you know, we knew with the shape that Plymouth had, we could get ourselves on the football, and we've done that. We're getting the fullbacks on the ball and getting the flow of the game, and getting, for example, Liam Miller one-on-one. And he'd done that with electrifying pace to put the cross in for Kaski to go and score the goal. And we knew, we thought we'd give him a few issues with crosses. And again, Stockley's gone and scored off an Adam Matthews cross. So, but I must say, Ben Amos has made a very, very, very important save at the start of the second half, because that save there, 2-1 to them. We always know 2-0 up is a dangerous scoreline, and we talked about that in the dressing room. And from that save, we've gone down the other end and gone and scored. So that was a big turning point in where the game could go. Because Plymouth, Ryan's done a great job here. Plymouth are a good footballing side. They play. But I thought we were very ruthless in our finishing. I thought we had a good defensive resolve about ourselves. We were aggressive in our press. And we put ourselves in a good position to win the game. And for me, I was able to make 5 substitutions as well. And we've gone on, and yes, we scored 6. We could have got 7 at the end with Chooks going through there. But I'm really pleased with the attitude and the application of all the players.
After the Sunderland game, we spoke about how that would be a statement going to a side like Sunderland and beating them, scoring 6 goals. That must be another statement to the rest of the top 6.
Well, listen, we're in the race. I think that's the important thing. We've got good momentum. We've got we've got tough games coming up. We all know that. But what we've got is, you've seen, we've got a group of players who are working extremely hard for each other. There's a good spirit amongst them. Another clean sheet. You know, we're defensively hard to play against. And we've got goal-scoring threats. And again, Chooks is on there. Connie Washington comes back into the squad at the weekend, and in mates. And so, and Ryan Innes, who we've not travelled today. We made sure that we've looked after him. So the squad is strong, going into a very, very important run of games now. But we're well and truly in this race.
I don't like to single out players after performances like that, but I thought Liam Miller, who has always been a threat down the wing, but perhaps just needed to add a couple more assists, and he's done that again this evening.
Well, that's it. And what we've tried to do is put him in a position where he's one-on-one, to be isolated in that, and he's gone and done it really, really well. So it's again, there was a purpose of what we wanted to do when we had the football. And I think that was clear for everybody to go and see.
You pay much attention to the other results during the game, or do you only concentrate on yourself? Because a lot of them went very well this evening for Charlton.
I haven't seen the results. I've just been told the results have gone well. I can't control what other people do. I just focus on me. So probably I'll sit down with a cup of tea later on and have a little look at the results and digest that. But for me, I just focus on what we can control. So, but Tom just highlighted that the results have gone our way. So that's a pleasing thing.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we meet again, and I offer my hand all dry and English slow. And you look at me, and I understand, yeah, it's a look I used to know.
Good ball out here on the right-hand side to Smith. Smith, ball into the box. And he can hear it! Oh, what a header! Superb goal by Charlton. Brilliantly worked on this right-hand side. Smith with the cross. And Aniko's on hand to bury his header.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview, looking back at Tuesday evening's emphatic 6-0 win over Plymouth down at Home Park. I mean, you could hear, Mark, that Nigel was obviously very happy with the performance. Did mention obviously the importance of that save from Ben Amos, but I mean, it must be so satisfying going into a new job and seeing it starting as well as it has for Nigel.
Yeah, I mean, he's got such a reputation. I mean, all the fans of his previous clubs have said, you know, we're lucky to have him. And yeah, we're lucky to have him. And so it is good for him to look around and say, you know what, they're listening to what I'm teaching them. They're listening to what Jacko's teaching them. They're listening to what Yuli's teaching them. They're picking up, they're absorbing it, which, you know, is obviously, we'd reached an impasse before the changeover of managers, and it's paying off, and we've seen that week in, week out. There's been week in improvements. You know, even when we haven't won, we've seen improvements because we haven't conceded silly goals. We haven't looked like we would, and you know, players are now fit and there's competition virtually in every position. Obviously, you know, you can rotate if he needs. And, you know, the positivity is just exuding from him. You know, his morning walk talks are just brilliant.
Yeah, and yeah, he encouraged me actually to have a look around the Plymouth Hoe area on Tuesday after his little walk, and I did enjoy that. Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets and emails that have come in on that performance. Big Tone says it was a great game from start to finish, defended superbly, attacked with intent, and now we are converting the chances that we create, whereas a couple of months ago we weren't clinical enough in the final third. Also, a big mention to Ben Purrington, who has been brilliant of late. Yeah, I mean, what did you make of Ben, Naif, on Tuesday? I mean, put in a couple of decent crosses, but he's looked overall very solid. And again, you know, a player that I know you sort of look out for.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Ben, he's done really well since he came in, I must admit. I've always said that, you know, he's solid defensively. I just find that he lacks anything going forward, because as soon as he goes forward, he seems to come backwards or sidewards, and he doesn't penetrate enough in the final third. But he put a great ball in, on Tuesday, and I think he done all right again, you know, in the previous game as well. So fair play to him. He's come in and done a good job, and but yeah, he's looked like he's working on his offensive side of the game a lot more. But you know, I have been one of his biggest critics, and you know, I'll eat my humble pie if that's what the saying is or whatever it is, but yeah, no, he's been great since he came in, and fair play to him, because it's like you need a hybrid, don't you, really, of a Martson and a Ben Purrington, really, because he's great going forward but not so great, and vice versa for Ian. But well, now that he's a right winger now, I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, he's done great when he comes in, so credit where due, mate.
Yeah, certainly is. Yeah, and Big Tone pointing out it is nice that we can just talk about the football again. Certainly is. Right, Robert says, everyone was immense all over the pitch and a great work ethic throughout, and still pressing with 20 minutes, with minutes left on the clock. A special mention to Amos for his great save and quick thinking to throw to Miller for the third, and game over from then on. Posh, you are next. I assume he means Peterborough there, and he's not targeting Victoria Beckham, but you never know. I reckon we could beat her 6-0 if we played her. Right, Gary says, hi guys, thank God for Stockley. If we had to rely on the other three, we'd be in trouble. One player not up to speed, one has always got a knock or can't play 90 minutes, and Washington can't do it up front on his own like Stockley. Very enjoyable. Listen, keep up the good work. Cheers, Gary. Couple of emails come in as well. Clive says, dear Louis, terrific result this evening, proving that we now have fit players and strength in depth. Question, how many of the 16 players who played this evening do not have a contract with us after the end of this season? Answer, 13. We urgently need to get some signatures on paper before the Wolves start circling. Obviously, that's something we've spoken about quite recently, Mark, but it's obviously, I mean, it is hard when you don't know what division you're in, but also Nigel will, I guess, want to assess completely between now and the end of the season. But, I mean, he will simply have to start moving fast. You know, someone like Chucks and EK, will he have championship suitors? Maybe he's waiting for that. You don't really know, but it's sort of like a game of chess when it comes to your contract renewals as to who's going to go first. I mean, players are in a strong position these days that they can wait to see if they can get anything better.
Yeah, but it's a bit of a roundabout, because it works both ways, because we can pick up some players who have been released by clubs, and you're thinking, wow, he could really do a job for us. So, you know, obviously there's a difference between something like Chucks and Jake, you know, with an age limit, and you might think he'd make a bit more money, or it could be, you know, a last decent move. So look at it in that way. But it's difficult, because obviously no one knows what's going on behind the scenes. We all have players who we'd like to sign, and probably players who, you know, if they didn't sign, you'd go, well, fair enough. But it seems to be, you know, most fans differ in opinion on who they'd like and who they don't want. So until the end of the season, like I say, until we know what division we're in, and then we can say, right, you know, we can offer X amount of money because we're going to be getting more money come down, trickle down, and how much money Thomas is going to do. But he's going to do it sensibly. So if someone's offering, you know, 10 grand more to play somewhere else, they're going to go. And, you know, it's without a thing. As much as I like the players in this team, there's no one in this team which, if they went, I would be that gutted by. As you know, like when Johnny Williams went and Tom was upset, there's no one here who I'm thinking, you know what, who we couldn't replace. And it's not that I like the players, and I think I'd like to see a lot of them stay for next season. But there's no, it's not got that kind of thing in mind. I don't know whether it's because we've not been there this season. It seems almost like a disconnect. But whereas in previous seasons, when a player's gone, like Jan, you know, it guts you. But, you know, with this team, there's players I'd be sad to see lose, but would it upset me as much as previous years? No, but that could just be the sign of the times.
I do wonder if there is still, like, as you mentioned, because fans haven't... I mean, there's players who will play for this team that will never be seen by a Charlton fan. It's just strange how it goes, really. But, yeah, I do wonder if that does form part of the disconnect. But also, I mean... You know, the stability, any form of team ethic, or if he gets any form of spine into his team and players that he likes to play around, it'd be difficult for Nigel if he has to start fully over again in the summer. And that's what Clive's email points out there. But he may well have to do that to some extent. Right, Phil says, "Hi, guys, it's happened. At last, the lads have shown their true potential. I felt for the last couple of seasons that we have the ability to punish teams, but have played with that fear of giving it away if we didn't try and defend as soon as we got our noses in front. On Tuesday, those fears were blown away. Perhaps on the sea breeze, we showed the other teams that we can mix it with the best, and teams should expect a tough game against us. I feel that it's almost impossible to pick out a man of the match and suggest that every member of the team that played their part should be awarded for their endeavours. Peterborough will be looking to confirm their top two status on Saturday, but I'm confident that we can handle the pressure and certainly get a result, maybe take all 3 points to turn our home form around for the remaining games. And no doubt two or three changes to keep the squad fresh, probably Innes and Washington coming back, but it'll be hard to name those that would make way. I'm continuing the foul curry pre-match routine, which has been in place for the last 10 games, and I'm sure it's put fire in the bellies of the team. It certainly has mine. I feel sorry for the lads that are not getting in the squad at the moment, as I'm sure that with the current positivity around the team, they would all perform very well. I did say a couple of weeks ago I preferred our run into that of Portsmouth, and looks what's happened to them in their last four matches against struggling opponents fighting for life. Yeah, it's certainly not going well for Pompey. Obviously, your foul curry pre-match routine has been going well for us. I mean, yeah, Nigel, obviously we'll talk a bit more about the game later on, but Nigel did say that we've got three bodies coming back in the form of Ryan Innes and Connor Washington and Ian Martson on Saturday, Nathan. So, I mean, competition in the squad, I mean, you can't say that any of them will walk into this team, whereas maybe even a month ago, they probably would have.
Well, exactly, and that's what you want. I've been... be very harsh to drop anyone from Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever it was. Very harsh to drop them. But that's what you want, you know. And I think Phil made a good point there saying, you know, we've realised their potential. And that's the difference of being a decent player and being a very good player. You can't just switch it off and on. You know, if you do it consistently, that's the difference between you staying at League One sort of level or you going on beyond that one. Going into the Championship and the Premier League, where a lot of players will want to aspire. Maybe not the Premier League, probably more towards a younger lot, but, you know, certainly Championship. And that's what makes you, that what makes you strive. And I think that's what's pushed the lads on, having that, you know, that squad. I mean, Ronnie Schwartz, we know he's a good finisher, but he can't get in. You know, he doesn't have any right to be ahead of Stockley or Chuck because, yeah, he's not had the minutes, but that's because they've been scoring. And it's his job now to try and, out, you know, force the others out. So, competition's good. And it's the same as, you know, Innes and Martson and Washington. They've got to come in, and when they get their chance, they've got to say to Nigel, no, I'm the one you want to stick with, not the other one. So it's all healthy. It's all good. And again, to go with that depth that we're going into with these cruncher games, and if the playoffs happen, having again that little, those, all those different options come, can be pivotal.
Yeah, certainly. Right, Alex Litton emails in. Hi, Charlton Live. I thought the play in the final third was much improved from the last few weeks. There was a consistently good final ball and finish, which makes all the difference. I still think that the quality of passing could improve. We struggled to hold the ball in midfield for very long. It says a lot that almost all six goals came from a move with less than five passes. Not that I'm complaining. Great show, guys. I'm convinced now that we will make the top six. That's from Alex. Yeah, I mean, just quickly, Mark, your thoughts on that? I mean, maybe the game against Ipswich, we saw times where we didn't keep the ball as well. Obviously, the opening 20 minutes on Tuesday against Plymouth wasn't great. But when they switched their shape and gave us a little bit more to room to play, and we did become a lot more clinical. I mean, there's always room for improvement, even after a 6-0 win.
Yeah, there always is. And I think it's... you enjoy it. We always say, you know, don't get too high, don't get too low with things. But I think you've got to take the positives. It's a big old pitch for Plymouth pitch, but we sort of like controlled it after the first 10 minutes. And, you know, the passing was good. And a couple of times where you're thinking to yourself, you know, I know that I think the phrase in football is reset, you know, and it goes back and you reset to it again. But we were resetting with purpose as opposed to being almost like a negative pass. It was almost right. This is going to lead somewhere. And so when we made that incisive pass and, you know, it worked. And I think, again, credit must go to Nigel for picking, you know, what's, I think it raised an eyebrow when he started Watson over Prattley. But I think it did give Jake a bit more leeway to get on the ball and drive a bit more forward. And Gilby was flitting around, you know, because Watson was controlling it. And you see, he's everything in front of him, where Prattley is more of your midfield enforcer, so he'll go and get the ball back for you, where Watson probably sat a little deeper and was controlling what was in front of him. So it was clinical, I think, would be the word. So, and the passing was crisp, and, you know, we didn't look out of place for where we are in the league.
I think, like as Mark was saying, in terms of obviously Watson and Prattley, I think if you look at the way that Gilby's come back on the scene and the way we're trying to play, he's more trying to be that more advanced midfielder to try and make those late runs. So without that pivot that, you know, Prattley would be, you've got Jake and Ben, and we're probably going to be outnumbered. So they might have to go that little bit direct and play off Stockley, which is where Gilby's coming into force, and he's obviously come back and come into form. So I've been critical in terms of keeping the ball as well. But if you're looking at how Nigel's obviously setting up, I can see why we're not doing it. But yeah, I think like Mark was saying, when Prattley's there, he's the enforcer. And then you've got when Watson plays, you've got the more sort of composure in that middle of the park.
Excellent stuff. Right. The other news ahead of Saturday is, of course, that it is the walk for the upbeats on Saturday. Fans have been encouraged by the Charlton Athletic Community Trust to walk a mile or more for the Charlton Upbeats and then to donate a tenner towards the side. So if you want to have a look on the Charlton Athletic Community Trust website, they'll give you the details how to sign up. But yeah, I mean, Nigel Adkins obviously met some of the chaps last week and had a good week, had a good walk around the training ground with them. Now, obviously, Carl, who helps run the Upbeats, says that the annual Upbeats walk is always an enjoyable event. Unfortunately, of course, due to the COVID pandemic, we'll once again have to do this walk in our local areas rather than as one big group. So we're grateful to all the Charlton supporters who have given the Upbeats hope help over many years. It's vital that we do reach, there's a 25 grand target again to keep the program running for another year and plan residential trips and various groups for the activities for the Upbeats to look forward to. So make sure you can sign up to that. Look out for the details. We'll share the details on the Charlton Live Twitter as well. As I mentioned, I am still planning on I'm going to walk to the Valley from home, which is about 4 miles. I think it's not going to break a world record or anything, but I'm going to do that. It's going to do my little bit and donate some money. So hopefully you guys can as well before Saturday's game. And then make sure you sat down in front of the stream for half one when the Upbeats will be playing at the Valley. So make sure you sit down and watch that. Right. During this week, Sunday evening, was it? It was just before we started to record Sunday's pod, actually. There was this sort of rumour going around about some sort of Super League conversation going on. I didn't really mention it on Sunday because nothing had come out officially yet, and I found it a bit confusing because I was like, surely they wouldn't do that. But they did. Six of the biggest clubs. I wouldn't say most successful clubs, because we are literally talking about Tottenham Hotspur in this conversation. But six of the bigger clubs from the Premier League, along with six clubs from elsewhere in Europe, decided they were going to take their ball home and just go and play with themselves for a little while, which is probably quite the right way of putting it, really. But decided they were going to have a bit of a closed shop. Obviously, the idea's fallen over already. They've sort of had a really embarrassing climb down. But before we talk about it, I thought you might guys want to hear what Nigel Adkins made on. I did ask him after the game on Tuesday for his thoughts on the apparent so-called breakaway Super League.
I've not heard the statement from Thomas. Obviously, he's made a club statement, so I'm not aware of what's gone out. But obviously, from a footballing man, You know what I mean? I probably stand with the majority of the country, where, you know, what was mooted could be very detrimental to the future of football, and we don't want that. Yeah. So, you know, if things are materialising where that's not going to happen, then I'm sure a lot of us would be very pleased about
that. Football's about dreaming. Charlton want to get into the Championship. Plymouth want to get into the Championship. You know, it does things where there's no relegation and the close shop doesn't feel right.
It's been proved that it's not going to be. It's not good for English football. I don't think it's good for football or sport in general. I know it's like the American franchise of the NFL have probably got it that way, which is maybe where it is, but we've got a dream. Everyone's got to have that dream. You know, I've been at Scunthorpe United and we dream we got to the Championship. You know what I mean? And we were sixth in the Championship at one stage. Every team needs to have an opportunity. When I was at Southampton, we were 23rd in League One when I took over. We got ourselves to the Premier League, and then the clubs kicked on and played in Europe. You know what I mean? And you know, situation that. But everyone, Charlton, I've joined Charlton Athletic because the owner has set out the vision to where we want to get to. Whether I'll still be here when that happens, who knows, but the vision for the football club and the supporters is trying to get ourselves up there. So we've got to keep that dream alive. So if the Super League doesn't materialise, we keep that dream alive, then far better for every football club and every supporter out there in the future.
There we go, Nigel, proper football man, as they say. Not up for it, Marcus, we heard there. I mean, it's just been a bit of a bizarre week. Obviously, the finances of football are always ridiculous and there's always strange things going on. But, you know, this idea that these people had looked like it was just going to completely ruin the football pyramid and just talk about greed and it was an outrageous idea, and I'm glad it's fallen apart already.
Yeah, it's funny because I was speaking to a friend of mine. We used to sit together in the lower north, and I said, do you remember we had a conversation about 10 years ago? And I said to him that, you know, with the Champions League, the way it was going, it wasn't going to be that long before these clubs were going to form a breakaway league. And he said, no, that'll never happen. And you know, that was 10 years ago we had this conversation. It's a strange one because obviously the immediate kickback from everybody was just like, no, this just can't happen. And there was two things with that. When, you know, with all this outrage, you're thinking, hold on a minute, there's been so many clubs like Bury, Macclesfield, who have gone to the wall with bad owners, and it hasn't even made like almost like the bottom page of some newspapers. And yet suddenly one of the, you know, the Premiership with the exalted, you know, holy ground, and it's just an international thing. I'm thinking, you know what? It did seem strange. It just obviously all based on greed, and you know they're going to get away with it because nothing's going to happen. They're not going to be sanctioned or anything, or you know, no points deduction, anything like that for what is, you know, trying to upset the apple cart. And you know, it's just greedy owners thinking, oh yeah, no, because clubs would rather watch Barcelona, Chelsea than they would watch sort of like Chelsea Everton or, you know, Chelsea Charlton or Chelsea Chesterfield. And, you know, it was just pure greed. And after you talk to Nathan, I've got a list of the teams who, if they did form a breakaway league, I'd give you afterwards.
All right. I mean, Nathan, your views are now... The thing that gets me is, I mean, obviously it would be this closed shop situation, but because the Premier League and the various domestic leagues around the country want to seek to protect themselves, I mean, there's every chance that these teams would have been kicked out of the Premier League, which I mean we can't kid ourselves. I know a lot of people are like, oh, good, get rid of them. I mean, it would have made a big problem because there are enough fans out there who would watch that rather than the Premier League, because the brand of Man United or the brand of Liverpool, or, you know, not a brand. I still can't believe Tottenham are in there, but I know you've got a soft spot for Spurs as well, but I mean, it's just the idea of it, just watching the same rubbish every season. I mean, it surely would have got boring anyway. I mean, to your average football fan, if it's the same thing every week, a lot of dead rubbers every season, surely it wouldn't have been that interesting anyway.
Yeah, obviously the uproar happened, but it's not the first and it won't be the last, unfortunately. Until we reset it, until we look at the finances and the models of football itself, it's just going to keep happening. Because if you have a leak, you know, if you look at the football finances and try and compare it to something in everyday life, if you have a leak in your ceiling, you've got a water stain, you can carry on painting over it, but it's still going to keep coming through. And we can stick as many plasters as we want and re package everything as much as we want. But the simple fact is that the money isn't being distributed correctly. I mean, it's what the last, what, since last, between 2004 and 2010, I think it is, like, players' wages have doubled in the Premier League and the Championship. And now in the Championship, you've now got players' wages that are more or less what the Premier League was a few years ago. And then the disparity between the two going down to League One is huge. But then even now, you look at League One wages, you've probably got some players on probably nearing 10 grand a week, which was probably unheard of a few years ago. So the whole model is broken, and it will continue to happen because of the pandemic. They've got to get recoup their money somewhere along the line. It's not like they could just keep writing checks out willy-nilly, you know? So it needs to be looked at, and it's not, it will just keep happening, mate. And yeah, I mean, in terms of the big six thing, yeah, I don't know where, you know, Tottenham and Arsenal can barely even win the own league, their own domestic league, let alone a big, big super league. So, but again, yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. I don't think meritocracy, you need to have that. So otherwise, what have clubs got to aspire to? What have a Burnley got to aspire to? What's the point, you know, if you're not going to achieve anything? So, but hopefully it won't be the first, but unless someone sits down and looks at the wages and we have a few years of pain, it's going to carry on, mate.
Yeah, the bubble surely has to burst at some point. Although, you know, the idea of, you know, if it had become a closed shop, you just wonder how many more Thomas Sandgaards would be that bothered about coming into a Charlton then, because, well, you know, deep down, I mean, he talks about going into Europe. I mean, deep down, that's got to be part of his long-term dream, or, you know, as unrealistic as it is. But, you know, certainly clubs like in the Premier League would all of a sudden have very little to play for other than the TV money in the Premier League, which would surely diminish if there was a Super League anyway. So it would really ruin the footballing ecosystem. Right, come on in, Mark. What's your list of teams you'd like to see? In the Super League or replacing the sides?
Basically, no. If they can take these teams and we'd never play them again, I would be as happy as I could possibly be. Right,
can I guess one?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure, judging from previous shows, I reckon Luton's on there.
Luton's not on the list.
Because
no.
I remember, it seemed to be there was always a couple of clubs that you just hate for some random reason.
Oh, no. Luton and Leeds got very close to making my six, but Swansea Swansea come in top. Can't, you know, too long for
Swansea,
the show to go on.
What? They're just like a Fulham. That's like hating Fulham.
The last couple of things, though. One, when they were gloating overtaking Gallagher and with that. And then when we were going through all our trouble, the Swansea fans were going, oh, if you go out of business, it doesn't even make a blip. So, you know, they can do one. Ipswich, goes without saying. Derby, because I hate their karaoke fans. Middlesbrough, for a private story I'll tell you another time. Milton Keynes Dons, because a franchise shouldn't exist. And then finally, any team that Steve Evans is currently managing.
Excellent choice, yeah. I mean, Ipswich, just saying Ipswich goes without saying, I mean, it doesn't go without saying. Mark's head is a fascinating place when it comes to the football teams he despises, but he has certainly found a winning formula to make sure that no one would ever watch the Super League if it did come into fruition there with those sides. Right, let's have a break into the final part of the show where we are looking ahead to Saturday's massive game with the team formerly managed by Steve Evans, Peterborough United.
Shinny prepares to take. Shinny takes.
It's a shot. Oh, great free kick. Oh, the power was too strong for Eastwood. He dived to his left, but it's past him. And Shinny, who got the assist for the first goal, now opens his Charlton account with a lovely free kick. And Charlton, just before half time, make it two. That you're going to be okay anyway.
You know there's no rest. Charlton Live. Right, welcome back. This is the final part of this week's Charlton Live, the big match preview. No press day today, actually. They're doing it on Friday this week. So I do have a tiny little bit of audio from Nigel. I did ask him on Tuesday how he was feeling ahead of the Peterborough game, and this is what he had to say.
I went to watch Peterborough play Sunderland, actually, up at Peterborough. Peterborough, good side, massive threats. I'm sure they're still second in the league, are they?
Yeah.
You know, they're every chance they're going to be in the automatic promotion position to go up. So we know it's going to be a tough game. But I'd like to hope that Peterborough know it's going to be a tough game for them as well. As I said, we've got momentum, we've got spirit. You know, we've been solid in our defensive resolve. And we've got massive goal threats, which have been demonstrated again tonight.
There we go. That's Nigel Adkins. Thank you to Nigel. So, yeah, big. I mean, it's a massive game. We obviously we'll talk about Peterborough in a minute, but we have to focus on ourselves. So we've set that target of what, 3 wins, maybe 2, but probably maybe 3. So get one of those on Saturday, and you've got 4 games to get the other 2. Mark, I mean this is a big opportunity for us again after the statement we made at Sunderland and the statement we made on Tuesday to just follow that. I mean, I know there's been a lot of statements in football this week, you know, from Super League clubs, but let's make our own one and let's make it 3 points at home at the Valley.
Yeah, I think it's a dangerous way to look at it to say that we need so many wins out of the games we have left, because if you lose Saturday, you go, I'll tell you, we've got more games left to get those wins. It's like, next game, just take it. They're a different proposition, Peterborough. I think they were lucky to beat us at their place. And they've got some strikers who are on fire at the moment. So I think he'll bring Ryan in back. But I don't see we've got anything to be fearful of, because they're going to look at us and say, you know what, this lot are absolutely bouncing. You know, we're going to turn it round at home. And because we've got the majority of home games left, you know, there's no reason we can't pick up a win Saturday. It will be difficult. It will be more of a, I think it will be a harder one than both Ipswich and Plymouth. But, you know, if the right players come in and he sets them up the right way, you know, obviously, I think the big thing about it, if they stayed overnight in a hotel and travelled back on the Wednesday, which, you know, makes a big difference in this league, because so often, you know, be on the coach, like I said, you'd be getting home 5 o'clock in the morning, and then, you know, that's it, that day's almost wasted. You don't really recover. So, you know, spending a night in a hotel and having a proper travel back will be beneficial for us. If there's no knocks picked up, you know, I don't know if he'll change it too much. It's difficult with Washington coming back, because he works so well up front and puts a lot of pressure on. So if he's fit, I'd probably put Washington up alongside Stockley and Miller, and drop DJ to the bench and say, right, be an impact sub and come on for half an hour and run at them. But it's a difficult one, because they've got a couple of strikers who are really sort of like in good form at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting team news question there that Mark's answered. I mean, I'm just briefly looking at Peterborough's form. I mean, they're beaten at home by Gillingham on Tuesday, which was their first defeat in 6. You know, they're obviously a good side. I do feel we were unlucky to lose to them at London Road earlier on in the campaign. But, you know, they're on the brink. I think Sunderland just closed the gap, you know, by picking up that point at Hull or against Hull when Peterborough were losing. But, you know, we know they're a big side, and I think they're probably going to finish in the top 2 now. I can't see Sunderland catching up with them, Nathan. So hopefully we'll just catch them, getting a little bit complacent maybe.
Yeah, possibly. I think, when you've got that front three, I think they're dangerous anyway. I don't think Dembele will be at Peterborough if they don't go up. There's a good chance that he might not be in the Championship, and I think he might go like one of the Scottish ones or a bigger Championship club. So, yeah, hopefully we can ask for an off day. But listen, it's doable. They had a lot of the ball against Gillingham. But the danger with, you know, Sammy Smodics can go in behind or come short, and the same as Dembele. So, and then Johnson, Clark, Harris is what it is. So we've got to keep them quiet. So it's going to be a test, a much different proposition than we had on Tuesday against Plymouth. But on our day, they're going to be looking at the result, as we were saying earlier. They've looked at that result and go, oh, hang about, don't they? They ain't mucking about these Charlton lads, are they? So, yeah, I think if we try and focus on ourselves, we're at home. And yeah, we'll just see how it goes. But it's going to be a good game. But, I mean, if we do beat them, I know that they're a bit far away from Sunderland, but it does give a bit of... It does make them squeaky bum time for Peterborough, because they always seem to fall away, don't they? So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. If we do lose it, it's still in our hands, so I'm not going to be too devastated. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the one bit of team news then, other than what you've already talked about, Mark, is the big question. Obviously, Ryan Innes is back and available. Does he come straight back in? You know, Akin and Jason haven't really put a foot wrong. I'd argue that Piercy's undroppable at the moment. Obviously, Akin's only come back in for one game while Innes was rested, so... Nigel's got a bit of a decision to make there.
Yeah, well, I'd said I thought he was going to put Fainwo in against Plymouth, only to negate the speed of their attack. I think it's difficult because, I mean, Clark Harris for Peterborough, he's got like 28 goals this season. So everything he hits is going in. I think what Innes gives us is a threat at the other end as well. Because he is such a unit, when we get corners, and he's, you know, he proved it against Ipswich, you know, he got so many clean headers at corners. Okay, we didn't capitalise on it, but there's something there for us. I don't think Fainwell's as dangerous in the opposition box, but, you know, he's quick at the back. Yeah, it's like Nathan says, you know, they've got a front three who you have to keep an eye on, but I think, you know, you're not going to change it too much. So, like I say, I think, personally, Washington and Innes in and keep it as is for everyone else.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. Thanks to all of you who've got involved with the show. Don't forget to get out and do your mile for the upbeats on Saturday. Right, thanks to Mark and to Nathan for joining me.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Good to have you both with me. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday to look back at the Peterborough game and ahead to next Tuesday's home game with Crewe Alexandra. I'm Louis Mendes. I look forward to speaking to you again then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.